you for the lights. We are in the midst of a series for a few months that I'm calling What is the Church? We've been looking at what the Scripture calls the church to be and do. I've said each week, and I mean this with all my heart, if you're at this church and you don't feel like it's doing what the Bible is calling the church to do, then go to another church. And I say that because I have a strong conviction that I don't want to waste your time, and you shouldn't waste your time. We come here and we believe that we're meeting with the living God, and that something supernatural and wonderful happens when we do so. Unfortunately, the culture has spent the last 2,000 years shaping church into something that sometimes is very different from what the Bible invites it to be for us. So we've been in the midst of this series looking at some very simple things that church is, and we've started with the fun, easy stuff, and in the last week or two, we started getting into the harder stuff. But you're here, you're back, so that's good. I wondered if anyone would show up after last week's message, but here we are together. But for some comic relief at the beginning, as we've been talking about churches, I've found some church signs that I thought were inspirational. So I've started each one of these messages, and some of you guys have been sending me signs, some presentable, others I probably can't show in this context. But I have a few for you today, so let's look at these. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan. That's pretty good, right? Does anyone relate to that? All right, what's next? Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. That's not in the Bible, but it makes sense, though. All right, what's next? Without Jesus, there would be hell to pay. It's the gospel. Amen. Next. Would that that would be said about Vineyard Community Church, Augusta, Georgia. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Next. No, this is good. You know, one time, I actually was telling a story the other day at camping, our family camping trip, the church. There was one Sunday where a lady was sitting right there, and in the middle of the message, she just went from this, and she just fell all the way out on the ground. And I wasn't here. I was on the way back from a mission trip to Ukraine, but I was listening to the live stream, and the guy speaking, he was like, okay, and let's turn next to, oh no, oh no, come Jesus. That's what he goes, come Jesus. Come, Jesus. And I didn't know what was happening. I was like, oh, what's happening in this church? And then I found out later that was when she fell and some people helped her. Oh, Lord, bless her. Anyhow, hopefully that will happen today. Next. What if God asks you for a sign? Think about that. I think we have one more, maybe. Keith Green. Jesus rose from the dead, and you can't even get out of bed. That's a good one. Keith Green. So, today we're going to talk about a topic that I've talked about many times, and it is inherent to the Scripture and the Vineyard DNA, as we are a Vineyard church, and that is the church being a place of service. Before we do that, I do want to start, though, as I have each week, and just talk to you about the central message of the church, which is the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 10, just briefly today, verse 9 and 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So we have these terms that we hear sometimes in the church called saved is one. Have you been saved from your sins? Are you a Christian? Are you a born-again Christian? These terms all come from the Bible. And I just want to ask you again this morning as we begin. We're going to talk about church, but that is not important next to the gospel message, which is that we were sinners without help in the world and could not save ourselves. And we were destined to judgment because of the choices we had made and the sin we'd invited to separate us between God and ourselves. And God, knowing that we could not bridge that gap, said, I will provide a way for you. It won't be about you. It will never be about how bad you are, and it will never be about how good you are. It will be all the work of God on our behalf paying a price that we could not pay because we cannot attain enough goodness or righteousness to work our way back to God. It is impossible. But because he is loving and Christianity is the only religion that has and does ever has ever existed that is like this, we don't work our way back to God. God does the work and invites us to come back to him based on mercy. That is the thing that causes the Christian faith to stand out among every other faith and cult on this planet that ever is or has been. Our access to God is not based on us. Thank God for that. But he poured himself out, prophesied Jesus on the cross, came, lived, died, was resurrected, and ascended. And those who believe in that become what the Bible calls a born-again Christian. Those who simply pray this prayer, Lord, I've sinned against you, and I want you in my life, and I need your forgiveness, and I believe in the message of the cross of Jesus. So because of what you've done, I invite you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life, forgive me, and make me a new person, and I surrender myself to you all my days for your glory and your kingdom and your purposes. Something like that. I don't remember what my prayer was. It was something like that. But it's either a moment of prayer or maybe just a time in your heart that you understand these things. And the Bible says that when we experience that, we then become a child of God. God no longer sort of out there, but now working from inside of us. And I just want to ask you again, have you had an encounter with Jesus that's changed your life? Everything else that's happening this morning is irrelevant next to that question. Have you had an encounter with Jesus Christ that changed your life? If you have, that's amazing. If you haven't, I would just encourage and ask you again, maybe now under your breath, maybe later when we have ministry time, but maybe this is the time that you are ready to say, I want to be one of your people. I want to be a Christian. I want to be forgiven. I want to be a child of God. I want to be saved from my sin. So that is our message. And I just start with that each week and want to reinforce that again. And then we talk about church. Today we're talking about church being a place of service. And we didn't start here. We started with some more of the other things that were more baseline, basic, because it's sort of like before I ask you to take care of my six-year-old, I need to trust you, right? And before I am allowed to take care of your six-year-old, you should trust me, right? So we've talked about accountability and relationship and all those beautiful things that we experience as a church. And I was talking with a friend of mine. He's a pastor in Atlanta. He came and spent a couple days with me last week, and we were just talking about the challenge, is pastors and churches, kind of fighting this model in the United States where, churches just, I don't even know that it's bad, but it's just so easy for a church to become a place that just dispenses Christian product to people. And what that does is it creates an audience, not a congregation. And here, especially in the Vineyard, we really believe that everyone gets to play. Everyone is part of the family and the army of God. And every one of us has a role to play, and it's all equal. Like, what I do is no less or more than what you do. The question is, are we obedient to what Jesus has given to us in this life? And so, everyone look at your hands. Look at your hands. Do you have any calluses on your hands? Some of us do. My daughter and I were shoveling mulch a few weeks ago, and she's like, Dad, I got a blister. I was like, yeah. And then the next day, she's like, Dad, look at my calluses. Look at them, all sticking out. I'm a girl. I got calluses. Look at your hands. Just look at your hands for a moment. And this is a question. Is there anywhere? Let's pray. Lord, we bless you. I ask your word to speak in power to us. Lord, we make ourselves available to what you have, not only as a church, but just each of us in our jobs, our workplaces, our families, our houses, our neighborhoods. And we say, Spirit of God, come. I pray that you would challenge us this morning with a call to service out of our love for you. Lord, would you fill this church with your Spirit again? And would you move us to be people of the kingdom, not people of the world? We welcome you. Come, speak. I want to just disengage now as we're praying and just ask you, forget about Jeff's prayer, and now it's between you and the Lord. Lord, we give you, I give you permission to move in my heart and search me now. We're each just having that conversation with the Lord now. I give you permission. I'm not here to be entertained. I'm not here to hear a message. I'm here to hear the voice of God. Holy Spirit, come. Soften us, Lord. Amen. Romans 12, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read these eight verses to us now. Romans 12, 1 through 8. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say every man among you ought not to think more highly of himself than he is, but to think as to have sound judgment, for God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members of one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy according to his proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, the one that gives with liberality, the one that leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And we will stop there. So we're talking about service and the church being a place of service. What do we learn about it from this passage? I want to point out a few things. The first is that joyful service is our response to God's love. Joyful service is our response to God's love. See the first word here, or one of the first words in chapter 12, verse 1. It says, what is the therefore, therefore? Do you ever hear that when you're learning to study Bible? That's a big question. Whenever you see a therefore, you want to ask, what's the therefore, therefore? So Paul says, I urge you therefore, guys. So what's he saying? Well, therefore means, let's look at what chapters 1 through 11 say. Now, does anyone know anything about Romans? What is in chapters 1 through 11? Justification by faith, sanctification, salvation, glorification, propitiation, atonement. It is a doctrine it's just a beautiful 11 chapters of Christian doctrine, just saying this is the meat and potatoes of Christian teaching. So what Paul's doing is he's saying God did all these things in chapter 1 through 12. It goes through all the cleansing, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and all the way that he lavishly, lavishly, lavishly loved us. And I think what he's saying now is, therefore, do something about it. Live in a way that knowledge changes your life, church. We are not a cruise ship. We are a battleship. The church is not to be the people of dark, sleeping. We are different. We are peculiar. We are awake and alert and sober and on the move. We are, Matthew 16, not looking at the gates of hell with binoculars, hoping that Bethel will maybe take them down one day. We, the church, the small churches, the little churches, the Baptist churches, the vineyards, all of us, if we're full of the Holy Spirit and intent on following his mission, we are, Matthew 16, 18, at the gates of hell, trampling them, and they will not hold up when the kingdom of God comes forth. So because of the love that God has poured out in us, and I'm the same, guys, I'm the same as you. I need to remember what God has done for me, and I need to refresh my faith and get off my butt and start serving. Remember Butt Prints in the Sand? You remember that one? Footprints in the Sand was a big deal, and someone like wisely came up with Butt Prints in the Sand, which moved me a lot more than footprints. Like, you're just sitting there. And I'm kind of being funny, but it's really true. The question is, are we doing anything about it? And I want to challenge you. I'm not challenging you. I don't care about the size of the church. I don't care if we build something else. I've never cared. I've never counted once in 25 years. I've never counted one time. What I care about is the glory of Jesus being manifest in us, whatever we do, whether it's 100 or one person or 1,000. Okay, the number is irrelevant. The question is he welcome and is he moving? And are we here? And are we inviting him to do this thing, or are we playing a religious game? And I won't do that. I won't. So we have this question to ask ourselves, am I doing anything about it? Has the gospel had any effect on you and I? Like the last sign that we showed, Jesus rose from the dead, and you can't even get out of bed. I'm not saying that you don't sleep in, and if you're watching and you're in bed, don't feel any judgment. Because I've done it, I've had to, even recently. So that's not what it's saying, but the question is service something that's part of the response? Because we've been loved lavishly. And the response to that, as I see him saying, he says, because of all this mercy, present your body as a spiritual service of worship. In other words, give yourself now. Because of the lavish love that God has shown you, our response is to say, okay, then I gladly will give myself to the things of the kingdom because God has come upon me so much. What does service mean? What do you guys think? The word service. Think about it. What does service mean? Anybody? The army, yes, it does mean that. I have 3 children in the military. Giving of your time, okay. Service, anyone else?
Mowing the lawn.
Yeah, service. Penelope? Doing something, yeah, I mean, yeah, doing something to help. Kevin?
Others before yourself.
Putting others before yourself, Hannah?
Doing something even though you don't want to.
Boom, would you say that again?
Doing something even though you don't want to.
So, yeah, I used my extensive training from theology and the Bible and all my experience and as a pastor, I did proper exegesis on the original Greek word here. I combined it with good hermeneutical application. I cross-referenced this passage, and I discovered that the word service means service. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Look at your hands, guys. Before you brush this message off is just another call to get involved. Look at your hands. Are there any calluses on your hands? Worship, I would say this is not the only worship, okay? We worship and we feel great and we receive from the Lord and it's beautiful and we have a beautiful environment to do that in this church. But worship here in verse 1, he says, your worship is your service. Verse 1, so part of our worship, it means that we serve. I mean, part of this, like we just took up tithes. We tithe because we love God. It's the natural fruit of saying, you've given me so much, and so I gladly will give back to you. We serve because we love God. It's the natural extension of our worship. And to what Hannah said, you know, a lot of times in church, it's like, well, I didn't feel led. I don't feel led to serve. I don't feel led to tithe. I don't feel led to give. I don't feel led to serve, you know. You know who's serving back there with all those kids of ours? A bunch of people that may not have felt led. Hello?
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. I was here not long ago, just a few weeks ago on a Tuesday, and I found poo in the men's bathroom on one of the toilets. And I didn't feel led to clean it up. But I did. Do you get it? We don't wait for someone else to do the work. I mean, we can, but we're just gonna stumble and shamble along. I don't want to do that. Like Hebrews says, run. It says, run. Run the race, right? So what that means for us, let's show the graphic of the lines of life, is that we have to choose what line we're getting in. I saw this on one of the socials, and I thought, boy, that's... So I have to just decide, you know, because to criticize, you may think, well, I'm not in that line. Well, are you? Because it's really easier for me to walk in and see that and be like, somebody should clean that up. Well, maybe I should. What line are we in? Not long ago, the person came to me after a service, and I must have done a horrible job preaching because we had a great ministry time and it was wonderful. And they walked up to me and they said, hey, Pastor, can you recommend a church in town? This happened just like I'm telling you. They said, could you recommend a church in town that's really on fire for Jesus? Right here. I thought, well, apparently we're not. Okay, that's okay, I guess. And I said, well, you know, there's probably 1,000. And the person said, well, I just really want a church that's on fire, you know? And I, you know, it's really easy. I could be offended in that situation, right? Like, I could. And I said, you know, I really think you're asking the wrong question. I think if you're looking for a church, it doesn't sound like this is the one, so. But I think a better question for you might be, where can I wash feet? Silence. If I wanted this, well, I know you want that, but I don't see Jesus advertising spectacle. I see him saying, go give yourself somewhere. So it's our response to the love of God, and we can do it joyfully. Next, servants orient their lives around another kingdom. Our life being about the kingdom of God. Verse 2, I've read my whole life thinking about I should be different and we should, but if we read it in the context of this passage as Paul intended it, it very much is about, because of our great theology and what God has done for us, we then give ourselves, and part of that giving ourselves is that in order to give yourself for the things of the kingdom, we have to pull ourselves out of the mire of the world, the kingdom of this world. Because if I'm mired in the kingdom of this world, then I'm not going to have a lot left to give to the kingdom, okay? If I'm mired in the things of the world, I'm not going to have a lot left to give to the things of the kingdom. So he says, don't be conformed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Vanity Fair is always calling for your time, talents, and treasure. If you're under 25, I want to just ask you to perk up. Vanity Fair is always asking for you to give it your time, your talents, and your treasure. I'm not talking about the magazine. I'm talking about Vanity Fair. We have a picture. This is from the Pilgrim's Progress. Vanity Fair is described as I'm about to read to you, and it is alive and well today. In this portion of the book, he says, Bunyan says, I saw in my dream that when they got out of the wilderness, they presently saw a town before them. The name of the town is Vanity, and at the town there is a fair kept called Vanity Fair. It's kept all year long. It bears the name of Vanity Fair because the town where it's kept is lighter than vanity. It also is that way because there, all there that is sold and all that comes thither is vanity. The fair is no newly erected business, but a thing of ancient standing. I'll show you the original of it. Almost 5,000 years ago, there were pilgrims walking to the celestial city, and these two honest persons are today. And Beelzebub, Apollyon, and Legion, and all their companions, perceiving by the path that the pilgrims made that their way to the city lay through this town of vanity, contrived here, let us set up a fair wherein should be sold all sorts of vanity, and that it should last the entire year. Therefore, at this fair are such merchandise as sold, houses, land, trade, places, honors, preferments, titles, countries, kingdoms, lusts, pleasures, delights of all sorts, hoards, bauds, wives, husbands, children, masters, servants, lives, blood, bodies, souls, silver, gold, pearls, precious stones, and whatnot. Moreover, at this fair, there is at all times to be deceivers, cheats, games, plays, fools, apes, knaves, and rogues, and that of every kind. Here are to be seen too, and that for nothing, thefts, murders, adulteries, false swears, and that of a blood-red color. Now, as I said, the way to celestial fair, the celestial city lies just through this town where the lusty fair is kept, and he that will go to the city and yet not through this town must needs leave the world. This fair, therefore, is an ancient thing, long-standing, and it is a great fair. That's his description of our journey from now till heaven, and we are in the world, and it is not like us. And you and I will face this from now till our dying day, and we have to choose which kingdom we're going to live our lives in. And I'm not saying you can't be part of the world, because we are in the world and we want to be light in the world. But guys, don't neglect the kingdom of God because of your participation in the world. Very, very important. Next, it's not about you. Tell your neighbor, it's not about you. Now tell him again. Verse 3 through 6, he talks over and over, and I just want to ask you to listen to these words that Paul is using to describe the gifts and the service that we have through the grace. Okay, it's grace, number one, in verse 3. I say that everyone don't think more highly of yourself than you should because of your gift, but have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So God has allotted. So whatever you have, whatever gift you have, whatever grace you have, whatever physical beauty, whatever talents you have those things, your intelligence. It's been allotted. Your ability to make money or build things, it has been allotted to you by God. He gave us as a gift in his grace. He gave those things. And Paul says, don't let it ever become about you, your service. It's been allotted to you. It was a gift given to you, he says. We have many members, one body, and then he uses the words, and he says the word gift in verse 6. And so as we think about service, it's very important that we think about that these are things that were given to us by God. And, you know, there's a very fine line between, oh, I've got this thing, and I'm going to, like, use it to help others. Maybe that's true, but maybe a better way to say it is, God has given me this responsibility, and it's not about me. I don't identify with it. It's just simply obedience. If he gives you $1 million and you can give some of that away, it's not because you had $1 million. You got the $1 million from God. Did you know that? If you have a great voice, it's not that you have a great voice and skill and you're now going to bless all the people. God gave you that to give away. You see the difference? So we want to enter this and realize that it's not about us. It's about others. It's not about us. It's about others. And finally, I want to conclude with a reference from the book of Esther. As we look at these last three verses here, 6, 7, and 8, we are here for such a time as this. We are here for such a time as this. And if I have any energy this morning that has affected you, or maybe the Holy Spirit has affected you, or maybe you were moved by the time of worship, or the coffee was extra good. But I just want to ask you again to look at your hands. I just want to ask you to look at your hands. Now, you're here for such a time as this. Now, let me say this very quickly. When we talk about gifts, the Vineyard has a wonderful teaching about situational versus constituted gifting. And I'm not going to go into what that means, but what it means is constitutional gifting we would define as if you are proficient in serving, if you are proficient in teaching, if you are proficient in the gift of healing, if you are proficient in the gift of miracles. That would be something that maybe you do often. And each of us could probably look at, I'm going to throw in a minute, not yet, a list on the wall, and look at some of the gifts that the Bible talks about. Some of us have those, and we seem to just function in those regularly. Like, for example, what was Billy Graham's big gift? Does that mean that you're not an evangelist? No. Okay, that's the other thing. So some of us are going to function in certain gifts more than others. Like some people will never be leaders, and that's okay. Some people will, there's things I cannot do and never want to try to do. I don't have it. So there's things we're going to do more than others. But then the other idea, situational gifting, is the idea that because the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, at any moment, all of us can receive all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit if he moves upon us. And so I want to just talk about that just real quickly, just because we're not saying that you only get this and you can have all these things. You can serve in any way. But again, look at your hands, and the question is there anywhere, and I'm not talking about real callousness anymore. I think you guys know that. Is there any service in us being done? Because we are here for such a time as this. Did anyone ever plant anything in the room and bear the fruits of it? Isn't it great to plant things? You know, I think about gifts, and let's throw the graphic up on the wall now. This comes from several places in the scripture, not just Romans. I took this from a whole bunch of different cross-referenced passages. But these are the things the scripture says are the gifts that are given. Just take a look at those. Interpretation of pastor. That's interpretation of tongues. Everyone, look at your hands. That's a list of 24 gifts. There could be more. You might think worst counselor on there. I would say counselor's probably discernment plus word of wisdom plus pastor. You might say, where's worship leader? I would say worship leader's probably leader plus craftsman plus pastor, okay? So don't get lost in the terminology. Those are things, we see five or six or seven of them here in Romans, but I just wanted to give you the whole menu and just ask you to look at that. There could be others too, by the way. We don't know. But look hard at that list and look at your hands and think about which kingdom each of us is living for. Think about if church life to us and Christianity is more of a cruise boat or more of a battleship. Think about if you've ever planted anything. You know, everyone in this room has some of these, guys. Did you know that? Everyone in this room has a bunch of these. And they were given to you by God to stay in this bag, right? I have some things here. Has anyone ever seen a hyacinth? They're beautiful. Guess when you plant them? October. Look what they look like. They're beautiful. Would it be tragic if they stayed in this bag and rotted for the next 10 years? Who would like these hyacinths? Ron. All right, I have something else. These are daffodils. These are daffodil bulbs, which is just a big seed. Guess when you plant them? October. These should just stay in this bag and go in my closet office, right? And just be tucked away for the next 20 years, right? Because someone else can do it? Or should they be planted? Should they be planted? Yeah, Christine, I see you smiling back here. So plant those. Okay, I have something else in this bag. Now let's think about our souls. These are wildflowers. Guess when these should be planted? October. There's three simple steps. Three paso simples. It creates a colorful meadow or border. Have you ever seen wildflowers on the side of the interstate? Aren't they beautiful? You ever wonder how they get there? Like, they're all these colors. They're purple and orange and red and mixtures of colors. Should I leave these in my office in the dark for the next 20, 30 years? No. We should plant them, right? Lauren, you want to plant these?
Yeah.
Here you go.
My dad was just thinking about getting some.
Perfect. Then you just got them. Be gifted. There's little bugs crawling around on my notes now. I'm serious. All right, let's take it home. Look at your hands. Can we put that list back up there? Look at your hands and look at that list. Think and wonder, wonder and think. And I want to seriously ask you, all the joking, all the signs, all the illustrations aside, where are your seeds right now? Where are your seeds right now? Look at that list, guys. Where are your seeds right now? Are they in the bag, in the closet? Are they still in the store? Are they even recognized and acknowledged? Is your life and my life so full of Netflix and the newest Marvel movie and all the video games that there's no space to even know what our seeds are? Are we in the world? Are we so preoccupied with Vanity Fair and all our favorite websites and all our favorite social media posts and just getting in bed and feeling good? And I know what it's like, okay? I've lived it. I've lived tragedy. I've raised 4 children. I've been married 30 years. I've had the surgeries. I've had the people die in my life. I understand. I've lost loved ones. I've struggled with money. I get it. It's hard. I understand. But at the end of the day, laying down in Vanity Fair and keeping all my seeds in the closet, God is worth more than that. He's worth more than that. And the sleeping church will be content to forever pretend and play and say someone else will do it. But I will live and die for this. I believe that Jesus is a great, great king. And there is no greater cause. And guys, like you saw in our living room, I'll sleep when I'm dead. Okay? Let's be about the things of the kingdom of God. You and I are here, I believe, on this earth right now for such a time as this. Do you remember what Esther did? She had to go see the king, and if you saw the king, and the king didn't invite you to see the king, what happened? You died. And so Mordecai said, listen, Esther, you have a chance to... Guys, here's the irony of it. What did Esther do to save a nation? What did she do? She cooked supper. Okay, she didn't move a mountain. She didn't, like, write the Bible. She didn't have to heal the sick. She didn't have to, like, do the... She just was obedient to the seeds that God put in her pocket, the things she could do. So she cooked supper for the king. And Mordecai said, do this and go see the king, and you can meet him. If you don't know the story, the entire Jewish nation was about to be wiped out. And she had an entry point to go before the king and say, would you have mercy on us? And she was scared because it could cost her life. And her uncle said, do this. For such a time as this, you're here. You can save the nation. So cook some dinner. What'd she make, I wonder? And she did. She cooked the meal, and she went against the orders. You remember the last thing she said to Mordecai? Here's what she said. I'm going. If I die, I die. Would that the church in 2025 would have that kind of resolve, be so impassioned by the beauty of the Son of God and the mercy that he's put into our lives, that we could say, I'm going to get over it, and I'm going to bet everything on Jesus. I call you to nothing less than that, guys. Is that radical? Yes. Is that what's in here? It says something about take up your cross, right? But you know what? Daily. But you know what? He's worth it. He's worth it. I just want to say at the end, guys, he's worth it. Is he worth it? Is he worth it? Has he not saved you from the pit and healed you and brought you gifts and put people in your lives and done things in your life that you never deserved and never thought you'd have? And he is so, so, so worth it. So let us be a church of service. What does that mean for you and I? I don't know. I've said it in the past. We want to do some new things. We've done some great things. The Lord has blessed this church. I think he wants to do more. I can't do it alone. We must become more of a church of service. So everyone look at your hands. Maybe some calluses will grow in the next season. Amen? All right, let's stand. I'd like to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit in each of us this morning. So let's just take a moment. I invite you to just engage with the Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Your word says that be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. We receive you this morning, that you would capture us. And Lord, we say that we believe, but help our unbelief. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I believe the Lord is inviting us just as we're praying. There's some of us this morning that there's just I just feel the Holy Spirit is just doing a washing in our lives of some of the stains of the world, that this morning there's been a conviction on some of us that we've gotten some of the stains in the world of the world on us. So if you feel that applying to you, I would encourage you just to open your arms and just receive the forgiveness and the cleansing of the Lord. Lord, we want to be your people. Forgive us for dabbling in Vanity Fair. Forgive us for turning towards sin instead of away from it. Forgive us for letting things that aren't pleasing to you into our bodies, into our minds, into our houses. I pray that you'd pour out your forgiveness on us now. Forgive us, Lord. We have sinned against you. And I pray for cleansing through the power of your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, just cleanse your people. Just pour over us. Pour over us. Pour over us again. There's some that would like prayer this morning. I'm not getting any kind of direction from the Lord, so I'm just going to generally invite you, if you'd like prayer this morning, you've came in here this morning with a need, or you've maybe come under conviction as you've walked in here, or maybe you felt particularly drawn to Jesus this morning, and if that's you and you have a need, come on up and we want to lay hands on you and bless you. Just responding to the Lord. If you're new and you're wondering now what's happening, this is just our opportunity to respond We believe the Lord's working through the service, and so we just want to respond to what he's doing. There's some more folks that would like prayer. Come on up. In the meantime, I need some people to come and pray for those who've come up. Love seeing teenagers and young kids up here getting prayer. Lord, empower the next generation. Come. And you guys don't take too much prayer yet. Just kind of, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, come. I'll release you in a moment to pray particularly. Yeah, come on up. Some of us, the Lord is just, he's just really wiping off stains from our lives. He's really just renewing in us. Some of us, there's some just real passion and a heart that has really gotten covered over by tragedy. There's some of us that the passion has gotten covered over by sin. There's others of us that the things God's put in your heart, if they've just gotten covered over by a season of lukewarmness. And this is a time to just come back to the Lord. He invites us over and over to return to him. Come, let us return to the Lord, and he'll fall on us again like spring rain. So if you're in that place, there's no shame in being in a place where you feel away. The Lord is always calling us back to him, no matter how far we've come. It's a place of mercy, and he receives us with open arms. So Spirit, come. We welcome you. I need some folks that feel prophetic gifting to come up here and pray on some of these people. Come on up. We have some people already, but just some of you guys that feel particular prophetic gifting, come on up. I think the Lord wants to speak in some deep ways. Don't be ashamed. It's actually humble to say, I'll try to do that, rather than say, oh, I don't want to look like I think I know anything about prophetic gifting. Thank you, Father. Yeah, come on up. Come on up. Lord, we ask you to speak dead things into life this morning. Bless you, Lord. Bless your name.
Know how to serve the Lord, and that's the perfect place to come. That's the place where he uses us. So don't be ashamed. Don't be letting something hold you back because you feel embarrassed that you've never given before. Just come and bring yourself, and he blesses. It's not about your ability. It's about him moving.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, if you didn't hear that, just some of us feel like, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to bring. And I would just encourage you, just, you know, the greatest thing to do is just once you have a meal with someone, come to an event, as you begin folding yourself into the life of church, those gifts really start to emerge naturally, and then they're spurred on by other people and watered by other people and encouraged by other people, and before you know it, you'll really have a sense of God's calling in your life. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray your blessing on just all that's being done in this room, that you would water, nourish, nurture, and on today, Lord, as we go, may we go in your peace, and we just go and keep our eyes on you, ask you to stir in us and fill today with your peace. We go in the name of Jesus. Amen. Guys, if you're getting prayer, take your time as long as you need. Everybody else, hope you have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Sunday. God bless you. Peace to you.